I have been using the iBlink radio app for several weeks now, and it is probably the most frequently used app on my iPod Touch. In fact, I have put it on my dock because I use it so often. Thanks so much for this app. I recently listened to your review of the enhancements to iOS 4.1 and the new voiceover capabilities of the Bluetooth keyboard support. I have found this to be quite useful. One thing I wanted to mention is that voiceover has a feature called Quick Nav that allows you to navigate the screen using just the arrow keys without having to use the vocal key combinations. You can turn Quick Nav on and off by pressing the right and left arrow keys together. You double tap an item by pressing the up and down arrows together, and you can go through the items by simply using the right and left arrow keys. You can invoke regular vo commands like vo h to go to the home page and vo m to go to the status area while still in Quick Nav mode, which is nice. I have found this works quite well on the Bluetooth keyboard support in 4.1 and have found it quite useful. Just wanted to pass that along. Jay McCarty.
The opinions expressed on the Serotalk podcast and blog are those of the individuals and do not necessarily represent the views of Serotech Corporation, its staff, the management, resellers, or board of directors.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast.
Serotalk podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com,
a production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access mobile network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk. Podcast 51 for September 27, 2010. This is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Inger.
I'm Joe Steinkamp.
Choo-choo! Pulling up the rear here, it's Mike Calvo.
Coming up, Kevin Chow will show us the new Sendero GPS Look Around app for the iPhone for $4.99. And we also link to a comment from Mike May talking about how this had greater cost and complexity than they had imagined, and saying that he really hopes or needs it to sell 4,000 units for them to really continue upgrading the project. But they are taking suggestions for enhancements and features. And I actually like the app. I found a lot of uses for it in the last week, even with what some call limited functionality. Also, I will be demoing the new Zoom H1 recorder. A lot of people ask me for a tool for doing podcasts that's portable. This $99 unit is an awesome product, and we'll show you the good and the bad, and we'll give you some audio recordings. And then in a couple weeks, someone asked me to kind of show some of the basics of putting together a podcast, so I'll show you a few. And I step into the kitchen of Bill and Jenny Sparks, and we're going to demo. Unfortunately, Mikey, a lot of folks started with your suggestion of the Tassimo, but have switched over to the Keurig, and we're going to show the Elite unit, which makes coffee, teas, and hot chocolate.
I think they both have good and bad points. Well, I've never tried the Keurig, but I know that there seems to be a wider variety of coffee for it. But I still love my Tassimo because it can do the sort of frothy milk thing for lattes and cappuccinos and so on. So I think they each have their place.
Directionsforme.org. It's an online database with food, including ingredients and cooking instructions, plus a variety of health and beauty products. This service is underwritten by Horizons for the Blind in Crystal Lake, Illinois, which is a suburb of Chicago. Check it out, by all means, at directionsforme.org. A lot of news in the book space. Stevie Wonder calls on WIPO asking for improved accessibility to books. And it sounds like if they're successful, he's going to write them a song and come back and do a concert next year. And I guess if they don't make electronic books more accessible, maybe he's going to write a song about that as well.
If he writes a song about WIPO, what rhymes with that that's going to make it really poetic?
Send us your WIPO song. Perhaps Stevie will like it. And maybe you can co-author
Maybe you can share copyright with Stevie Wonder on a WIPO song of your very own.
I got the iPhone on your WIPO.
Don't quit your day job, my friend. He's really stepped it up lately on accessibility. He's been talking about that at the ends of concerts and some of the big political rallies that have been going on. He's really, really come out and been really out there with accessibility lately.
Glad to see him stepping up to the plate and using his position and name recognition to address these important issues. And again, reminds me to remind all of you that the difference that one person can make, and if each of us just chooses one thing, whether it's dealing with your community over your traffic signals or whatever it is, if each of us just picks one project that we're passionate about, what a wonderful world this could be. By the time many of you hear this podcast, we will have the first rendition of Blio, and that's at blioreader.com. And it'll be interesting, a lot of free content, but also some books you can purchase through the bookstore.
So glad this is finally going to be available, although I do have to say I'm a little bit disappointed by the marketing efforts. Take a sneak peek of what the Blio website is going to look like. Was it a peek at the site itself with HTML and all? No, not so much. It was a pretty little picture of it. I was disappointed by that, but looking forward to seeing what these guys have done. It's taken us a while to get here, so I hope it is well worth the wait.
So I think it's really good that we can actually move the question from when to what's next.
We will do a special segment on it. And coming up this Thursday, we're going to talk about this month in access technology. And Joe and I and JJ Meadow from Blind Bargains, and I believe Rick Harmon will be joining us, and of course your two cents as well on Tech Chat 71, Thursday, September 30 at 9 p.m. Eastern. So join us. Get the link at cerotalk.com.
I think it's going to be a great opportunity for the community to just kind of share where we are, where we're going, and what we all think. And to see JJ and Rick, who both do their own things, come on board with Cerotalk is exciting, and it's fun.
Well, Mikey was kind enough to send his Kindle over to Ricky, and of course, we all looked at it as a team to each contribute perspectives on it, because it is incomplete in terms of accessibility, but there's a lot of promise, and Ricky kind of took all of these different viewpoints and observations and put it together in a very well-documented review. Give us your observations. You've been playing with it now for a while.
And I will warn everybody, this is by no means a short review. I did thoroughly enjoy spending some time with the Kindle, and I'm not going to give too much away because I'd like people to actually read the review. There's a lot of promise there. There's a lot of room for improvement, but this is definitely not something that we need to stomp our foot on and smash in the floor because it's so horrible and awful.
The team has written something that allows you to get an idea when you touch the device, to get an overview of where button placement is and kind of a guide.
Throughout the process, the Amazon folks have been very open, very receptive at a bunch of different levels. I know they've communicated, Joe, with you from a PR standpoint. They've communicated with me on a customer service level and support level to talk about the future. And they've also agreed to pass on any information that we give to the development team for the Kindle. We actually suggest some things that Ricky incorporated into the review. So to kind of give Amazon a jumping off place as to say, okay, well, we could do it this way or we could do it that way, instead of just saying, well, this is the problem, fix it. Take that review and use it as a springboard for recommending other things and how you might want to deal with other product or service providers that do your favorite product or service. And if you have something you want us to look at or us to review or whatever, please do send us an email or contact us on the Blab line.
Get your hands on it. A lot of people are going to be getting this for Christmas. A lot of people are going to be getting this for anniversaries, birthday presents. And this review can help you get an idea of where to start with this. So use it as a companion piece when looking at these devices so you can provide really good constructive feedback.
Yeah, it's one thing to say this is not accessible. It's another thing entirely to take a little time and educate the maker of the product as far as what they can do to make it better.
Mikey, I want to pick your brain with some status updates. The last time we talked to you 4 weeks ago, you had ordered the iPod Touch 4, which I guess you shipped that bad boy back on crappy
camera. Hated it! Yeah, it was really bad. It is thinner than the 3G version of the iPod Touch. But unlike other iPod Touches of years gone past, which have been pretty much a carbon copy of the iPhone minus the camera and minus the phone part, this thing was a total different product than the iPhone 4. I really believe that was purposefully done in the demonstration of it, but we were kind of purposefully misled. First of all, the camera on the back to take pictures. Yeah, you can take pictures if you like less than 1 megapixel camera pictures.
So for OCR, it's not going to happen.
Are you kidding? You'll be lucky to get a real picture. If you look at some of the reviews online, they say the pictures look washed out. I mean, they're not even good enough for your tween to take pictures. The Retina display is a cheap imitation of the Retina display that's on the iPhone 4. It went back. You know, I mean, yeah, it was 64 gigs and all that, but for a $450 product, I didn't want a thinner iPod. I wanted it to be an iPhone 4 without the phone part. That's not what we got, and that's what a lot of people thought it was going to be, and we just got shafted. Bad product. Now, that being said, Michael, I did get an iPod Nano to play with. I have it right here, and it is cool. Very, very, very cool.
And you have talking menus?
You know, I've read reviews and in the mainstream, and they said, oh, you know, they took away the video, they made it smaller, they took away the ability to really play video effectively. That's all true. For us, they added a real TTS engine in there, and it's the same engine that you hear in the iPhone and in the iPods and in the iPads. It's Samantha. When you look at it, it's just a flat piece of metal with a little piece of glass on the front, and you actually use the same way to get around it that you would on the iPhone or the iPad or the iPod. You swipe and you tap. So it's very cool. It is the smallest touch device in existence. There's a lot of technology in this product for $179. It's got real TTS, and we can go in here and...
1:58 p.m. Status bar item.
It told me the time. And if I do a one-finger swipe down...
100% battery power. Status bar item.
It tells me the battery power. Somebody had actually asked me to demonstrate on the podcast the voice. There was a great review done out of Australia by David Woodbridge, but his TTS wasn't real clear. It was far off in the background. And this is not a speaker on the unit or anything. It has no speaker. It is connected to a little round speaker, an external speaker. So it said screen dim, so I swiped the screen. It's up now.
Playlist. Now playing. Artist. Genius Mixes. Page 1 of 4.
Okay, so I swipe with my finger to the right.
Page 2 of 4.
And I go back upward now.
Radio. Settings. Photos. Podcasts. 100% battery power. Status bar item.
So now from here, if I want, I just swipe one more to the right.
Page 3 of 4. Songs. Double tap to open. Albums. Genres. Composers. Double tap. Genres.
So let's go to genres.
Genres. All artists. Archives. Blues. Blues rock. Two artists. Two albums.
So this is blues rock.
Blues rock. All albums. The Allman Brothers Band. Duh. ZZ Top.
So ZZ Top.
ZZ Top. Blue Jean Blues. 100% battery power. Blue Jean Blues.
So now if I swipe to the right,
showing row 1 to 1 of 1,
it'll do the same as a two-finger swipe. So you tap it.
Album art. Double tap for playback controls.
And it's playing.
I got the AT Blues, baby.
Yeah. Just chilling.
Have
listening
mercy.
To my iPod. You know what I'm saying?
I done ran into my baby.
So while I'm here, it's not... There's nothing there. If I tap it...
Pause button. Next track button.
Let me try.
Double tap and hold to fast forward. Page 1 of 2.
Now if I swipe to the right...
Page 2 of 2. Track listing. Page 2 of 2.
In this particular case, I have no metadata in this song. But basically, it would tell me, you know, whatever is written there, and it'll read it.
Page 1 of 2. Track listing button.
So if I hit the track listing button...
Fandango. Rating. No stars. Adjustable. Swipe. 1 star. Blue Jean Blues.
I don't know why it said Fandango. That's kind of interesting.
No stars.
I think that's the record it's on.
441.
Okay, so it's 4 minutes, 41 seconds, and that's all we get. If I want to go back to the thing, I do a two-finger swipe down.
Album art, double tap for playback controls. Album art, double tap for playback controls.
I did. There we go.
Pause button.
So I double tap there. Yeah. Again, if I want to go backwards, I just two-finger swipe down.
Album art, ZZ Top.
I'm going backwards.
Blues rock, ZZ. Genres, blues rock. Home, songs, double tap to open.
So if I want to go to the...
Page 4 of 4, fitness, clock. Audio groups, page 4 of 4.
I like it. The funny thing is, when you turn it off, and I wonder if this is a recording, because when you turn it off, it says...
Screen off.
Screen off.
She sounds so sad. Because the screen is so small, I noticed that you were using gestures to go from icon to icon. Could you move your finger around the screen and find these icons without flicking to them, or is the screen really too small for that?
No, the screen is too small for that. As you swipe, you move from icon to icon. It's a bit cumbersome, but quite honestly, you get used to it. And as a user of it, the ability to actually have real TTS, I would say this is one of my favorite pieces of mainstream equipment this week. It's got a clip. You can clip it onto your shirt. You can clip it onto whatever. It's very light. It's very easy to lose. They're making a watch band that you can fit this thing into, so you can wear it like a watch.
They're positioning this for exercising and things like that. Have you played with some of the other features, like the pedometer and some of the other things that they've been talking about with it? Because there's that deal with Nike.
I saw the fitness app in there. I have not. I've only had it for about a week, and I've really just used it to read books and stuff, and I've enjoyed doing Audible on it, listening to a bunch of podcasts. The battery with VoiceOver does not last the 24 hours that they say it does. Not a lot less, but it is less. I'd say probably about 15 or 18 hours. I didn't have to recharge it for a few days. The one thing that I love about it is, unlike the iPhone that doesn't always fit real well into the iPod dock, the Bose dock, this thing just fits right in there perfectly, works great in the Bose dock and in the kicker. Sound is exceptional, and it does have our favorite things like crossfade and things like that. It does not look like a scaled down version of iOS 4. I read some reports. They kind of opened it up. It still is the Nano. I wonder how they got the TTS in there. That in itself is pretty amazing. You can't add apps to it.
Right. So the radio is their implementation, either through iTunes Radio or how does that?
Yeah, it's no.
Is that their built-in radio?
Yeah, it's just a built-in radio.
Okay.
But it's an cool FM thing, radio.
Yeah, but you can pause the radio. You can rewind the radio. You can tag the songs to be sent up to iTunes later so you can buy them. And all that stuff is accessible. So it's neat. I finally made the jump over to iPhone 4. It's been an expensive month for us here. And
because you had to have it unlocked.
Don't get me started on that. We cannot use jailbroken equipment at Serotech to test real Apple software. That being said, I refuse to get off of T-Mobile and go to AT&T and get shafted. I'd rather give my money to Apple.
Mikey, I did want to ask you about TV. You got a little bit more info on crappy quality for Apple TV, as well as some information on the forthcoming Google TV.
The whole thing about the Apple TV that just does not cease to amaze me is every time I think about it is, how do these guys think that they're going to build a business model around 99 cents per view? The new Apple TV box, A, inaccessible. We thought it was going to be accessible. Nope.
Liam Irvin wrote to Apple Accessibility, and they finally did respond to him saying that Apple TV would not have VoiceOver included at this time. Now, you can use an Apple device like an iPhone or something like that as a remote control for the TV.
You know, you've got things like the Boxy Box coming out, which is a Linux-based set-top box, which I'm wondering if it can be retrofitted. We definitely got to touch base with those people and see what's happening. Matt said that the last time he looked at it in Linux, it was not, but that doesn't mean that things haven't changed. We've got the new Roku players. We have a couple of Rokus here at my house. I know they're not accessible. They have allowed us to get off cable. So we don't pay for cable anymore. We just watch things from Amazon on demand. You know, we rent movies when we need them. We buy the episodes, you know, the seasons of television shows that we enjoy. We also have a Netflix subscription for $8.99. So whenever we want to movies or whatever Netflix has, we watch it there as well. Our TV needs have been met by that. Google TV, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be out in October. It's going to be available on a Sony TV set, on a Sony Blu-ray player, and on a, I believe it's a Linksys set-top box. We're trying to communicate now with Google to find out if it's going to be Android 2.2 and if it's going to have accessibility built into it with TalkBack. So stay tuned. We'll let you know closer to the release. And if we can get our hands on one of them, we will definitely demonstrate it here. And I would strongly suggest, again, that you get your advocacy hat on, start, you know, letting these people know that you're a blind consumer and you want to use this stuff. And we would ultimately like to see described video services on Netflix. People, it does nothing to the Serotech business model. We are not here to give you only access to described video services. We want you to have access to whatever we can make easy for you to get access. But if Netflix can do it, keep consistent and give you the ability to pay for it economically and have it at the same time as the mainstream have their movies, God bless them. Let them have it. That's the way that we feel about it. Also, Hulu Plus, we've been continuing our conversations with Hulu on their new Hulu Plus service and their application for the iPhone. It is semi-accessible. That I'm being nice. We've notified them and they've written us the usual corporate speech. Feedback saying, hey, you know, we're working on it and we've got our sights set on accessibility and we truly at Hulu, we aim for full inclusion. And I believe that. They've been very responsive. I've not gotten any canned answers back. I've gotten real people answering back. So in their defense, I mean, they've got a lot of fish to fry, including the accessibility one. So what we need to do as a community is advocate for that accessibility fish to be put higher on the grill. There's your TV update for this podcast. Please do get out there and let people know on Twitter. Let people know on Facebook. Write to these companies individually. Talk about it in forums. Let's get these companies to understand that blind people do like TV, and we want to know what's happening.
So Joe and I were on the road last week. I was in Indianapolis at the Indiana Low Vision Expo, and I really had a good time. It was a very nice setup. Probably 600 to 700 people turned out over a five-hour period. There was no cost. Got an eight-foot table, electricity, wireless internet connectivity that worked pretty good, and even two bottles of water on the table to greet us. So I thought it was pretty awesome, and I would encourage you to put this on your roadmap if you're an AT vendor. AT Guys was there, APH, GW Micro, and Humanware, and statewide services were there. But Joe, you were also in Houston doing two different events. events?
I was over at the Houston Lighthouse down in Houston. Houston's my old stomping grounds. Lighthouse event went really, really well. We had a great time. It was myself and Dan Brown of Humanware doing a little bit of a demonstration of how our products work together and how you can load email and all sorts of things onto the Victor Reader stream and, of course, support their Braille displays as well. And then I was at the ACB Texas Convention, also sponsored by the Houston Council for the Blind, in which I was in the exhibit hall. Got to present also in front of the Computer Users Group. I've actually got a couple more things coming up in October. I'll drop them on the Twitter feed, twitter.com/RangerStation, RangerStation, twitter.com/SeroTalk, SeroTalk. And you can keep up with Ricky over at twitter.com/RICKY_ENGER. You can learn a lot about us, maybe more than you want to know, and what we're doing on the podcast feed and where we're going to be, because we are out there, guys. You can get a hold of us, talk to us, and learn a lot about where we're going to be next. And it could be a town near you.
That's right. If you have an upcoming event, we can't guarantee that we can attend, but let us know about it. We will certainly do our best.
And we don't have to be there in person, although we would love to be. We can still participate through Skype or even through Accessible Event. I've done that a couple of different times where we simulcast the Accessible Event from the venue, and I was able to join as an attendee there and make comments and so on. So it's a pretty cool way to bring your event to people that may not be able to make it in person.
Send us a line. What's going on? Where are you at? What events are going on? And maybe we can promote that through our lines of communication as well.
Live in the kitchen of Bill and Jennifer Sparks, we found an alternative to the infamous Tassimo that Mike Cowell reviewed earlier. It is the Keurig, K-E-U-R-I-G, what do they call this thing, the Elite? This is
the Elite.
This is the Elite coffee maker, and there's a number of reasons why many people are switching. One of the big ones is it's a lot easier to find not only a wider variety of coffees, but also in a wider variety of locations, right? You can find a lot of these out in regular grocery stores. And
right, you can go to Kroger's, or you can go to Meijer's, Target. Lots of places have them, and the websites are usually pretty easy and accessible that sell them.
Some of these are a little less, aren't they? You can get these down about 50, maybe 40 cents per cup of buying in a little bit of volume, right?
Right. Places like Green Mountain or Big Cat. Green Mountain sells a box of 80 for $37.95.
These Keurig units seem to get the water hotter, like up to around 195 degrees where, you know, where the water needs to be to make a really good cup of coffee. So a lot of folks feel that maybe the taste is a little better with the Keurig.
I think it is, and part of it is because it's pressurized. The brewing process takes place in the cup. So if I make you a cup of coffee and then I make someone else a cup of tea right after that, they won't get any taste of the coffee that I just made you.
And was that not the case? Now, you had a Tassimo, right? So was that not the case with the Tassimo?
Sometimes if you would make something that had milk in it, you know, there would be some milk residue around the edges because it has an infusion process.
Oh, the Tassimo does infusion.
Right.
And this does?
There's some kind of pressurized thing where it stays, because there's still some leftover water in the cup, even though it doesn't leak out. See, here's the cup before I've brewed it. And see how light that is?
Well, just reminds you of those little tiny, well, not yogurt,
like
but
a medicine cup.
Medicine cup, yes.
But it has foil over the top, and that's what gets poked when you put it into the machine.
Okay, so let's describe the machine here. You've got a big part of it is your water reservoir. Now, how do you know when you're out of water? Does it beep or something to say, hey, there's not enough to make this cup of coffee? Or
if you listen to it fill up, you can hear it stop if there's not enough water. The reservoir is here on the side. Here's the tank. See, it has a lid. So you can actually open that up and feel how much water.
Right, you can actually see what you've got here.
Is inside there.
I'm not sure how to articulate this little gizmo, but
it's kind of, what would you call that shape? Oblong? It's kind of tall. It holds 48 ounces of water.
Okay, so about 4 cups of coffee, right?
So about 4 to 6 cups, yeah. About 4 cups, probably. The machine has 2 reservoirs, so in the back, yeah, there's another tank, because what it does is it brings up another cup after you've emptied it. So there's a cup that's hot.
In queue.
Right.
Brew queue, where yeah, it's ready to go, it's already warmed up. I mean, how long will it stay warm? Does it shut off after a period of time, probably for safety purposes?
With this one, you can set it to shut off, and it'll stay on for 2 or 3 hours. You can override that shut off, and it'll stay on forever if you or until you shut it off.
Right, so someone could set this thing up and just come in throughout the day and have a cup of tea every 2 hours or whatever right. their passion is.
And some people leave it on because they don't want to wait a minute for it to heat back up.
Now, this has some other options, I guess, that may not be accessible, right?
It has a clock in it so that you could set it to come on so that the machine would come back on at a certain time in the morning. Now, I haven't messed with the clock. I mean, you can feel all the buttons on here.
Right, so you probably could memorize the sequence. You just need sighted help initially to right. figure out how to go through the menus and get that set up for you.
And this model doesn't, but they make a model, I think it's called the Elite Pro, that actually you can change the temperature of the water.
Right, so does this change it between coffee and tea, do you know? Does it sense?
I don't believe it does.
I know the Tassimo, it reads some kind of barcode, and then it changes some settings to make that particular item.
I think this one, the temperature stays the same. But the thing that, one of the reasons I liked this better than the Tassimo is that if you want to make hot chocolate that you bought from the store, you can just make it give you a cup of hot water.
Right, and you can add whatever you want to do with that.
Right.
Tassimo doesn't do that?
No.
Tassimo will not dispense water without a cup in there to make something.
Right.
Okay, that's kind of neat. How much did you pay for this? Do you remember?
It was close to $100, but they have a smaller one that's a little cheaper that just holds a cup of water. You just pour a cup in there when you want to make something.
Okay, well, let's hear this bad boy in motion here. It doesn't take long at all.
Oh, no.
To make the coffee here. And that, again, is similar to the Tassimo for those who didn't hear that podcast. Basically, under a minute, you've got a cup of coffee. So that's important to you to get in and out the door. There are no grounds. Everything is in the little cup that you just dispense with when you're finished. The little medicine cup, as she called it.
Just drop this little medicine cup in the top. It has a handle on the front, and the handle raises up and opens it up so you can drop the cup in there. I've dropped the cup in there, closed it. The little thing poked it. Now, this is about an 8-ounce cup, a little more than that. So I'm going to hit the button. Some people say they're noisier than the Tassimo.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I don't know, I think in the morning that's kind of a nice sound here, that coffee.
Yeah. See, now it's done, now it's going to fill back up with water. But you can take the cup out now.
Right, so that cup is done. So you could make either an 8 or a 12. So you could make 8 if you wanted it stronger or 12 if you wanted it a little weaker, right?
It probably would be a little weaker. I know hot chocolate is if you make the great big cup.
Right, so because I noticed on the 8 was maybe a little, not really strong, I wouldn't say that, but you might want a 12 if you like your coffee a little weaker, yeah.
Now see, here's the difference. Here's the cup after I've brewed it. It's a little warm, but you can tell that it's heavier.
Yeah, there definitely is some water, something that's retained in this cup. Yes, it is a little heavier than it was originally. Very interesting. And the Tassimo didn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
And we're talking about the actual coffee medicine cup, she called it. Wow, cool. That coffee was done in just over, I don't know, 30, 40 seconds, wasn't it? I mean, I spend that much time just pouring the water into the old school coffee pot or scooping up the grounds. That's a much more efficient way, if you don't mind. Obviously, you're going to spend a little more per cup. So if you drink one, maybe two cups a day, this would be worth it for you. If you're one of those who drinks a whole pot, this could become a kind of costly habit, I would suppose. You know, if you drank 8 cups a day or something, you might be spending $120 a month. Then again, who's to say how much we should spend on our vices? So there you go. It's a good cup of coffee. I got one over here. And all kinds of flavors, right? Didn't you say there was a wider...
Oh, there are all kinds of flavors, and there's also lots of tea. Everything from green tea to all kinds of herbal teas and regular teas, English breakfast tea.
Yeah, we had some really good lemon tea with... What was that in there?
Rose hip.
Yeah, I got the rose hip going on.
It's called Lemon Zinger.
Lemon Zinger. Good stuff. So check that out, folks. If you're interested, you can get these, like I said, at Target and Keurig.com.
Yes.
K-E-U-R-I-G. Good stuff. I would check it out if you like your coffees and teas and hot chocolates, or just need to quickly make a cup of hot water so you can put in whatever you'd like to make your own drink of choice. Thanks.
And if you like cold brew tea, they have cups you can buy for cold brew. You just brew it and add ice to it, but it's designed for that. I guess there's a difference in the way they make the teas, something in the leaves or something, so that it will taste good cold.
Well, there you go, folks. It's the Keurig Elite, somewhere in the $100 price range. There's also Pro, so there are a few different options. Coffee over the last 4 days, and I'm liking it. I'm feeling it. I feel this going into my Amazon shopping cart or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and that's another place you can get cups, too, is Amazon.
Oh, you can get everything at Amazon. You got that right. Well, thanks a lot, Jennifer. Live from the kitchen of Building Jennifer Sparks in Indianapolis for the SarahTalk.com podcast, this is Michael Loff.
Hello, my name is Kevin Chow, and I'm going to be demonstrating the Sendero GPS Lookaround app for the iPhone from Sendero Group, which was released on September 16th. What this app does, which sets it apart from other GPS navigation apps, is it provides heading, nearest address, city, and nearest points of interest. And it does this in a variety of different ways. One of the unique ways is by shaking the iPhone, you can get all the essential information such as your heading, your nearest address, cross street, and nearest point of interest. And if you want various bits of those information, you can press a number of buttons, which include the Where My button, which will give you your heading, your nearest address, and your city. There's also the cross street button, which will provide you your nearest street and your nearest cross street. Then there's the nearest 5 points of interest button, which essentially does that. It'll give you your nearest 5 points of interest in order of proximity, and it'll provide the name, the distance, and direction. We'll go ahead and just launch the app and explore it.
Sendero GPS. Sendero GPS. Disclaimer. Sendero GPS Lookaround is intended for orientation purposes, and there are no guarantees as to the accuracy of the data. Do not use while walking or driving. By proceeding, you understand and agree that the location data and GPS may not always be trustworthy.
So we get a disclaimer saying, essentially, don't solely rely on the GPS data provided through the app, and to only use it as an orientation tool, and to pay attention to one's environment. Understanding that, we'll go ahead and tap OK.
OK. Button. Welcome to Sendero GPS Lookaround version 1.0. Touch a button or shake the phone to receive nearby location information. Touch the help button for details.
So the way the screen's laid out is the top third has the message box, which will provide you with the various messages. Below that is the Where My. Below that is the cross street. Below that is the nearest 5 points of interest. And there's a number of buttons
screen
along
lock.
The bottom, which includes the map button, which will bring up Google Maps. To the right of that is the compass. To the right of that is settings. And finally, to the far right is the help button. So the way the compass part of it works is it's based on the iPhone laying flat in your hand and whichever way the top of the iPhone is facing, where the headphone and sleep/wake button is. Shake the iPhone, and when I do that, we'll get a beep, and we'll hear the look-around information, and the iPhone will also vibrate to indicate that the command took.
Facing east near 2 Fairmont Sierra in Bossier City, near Dover CT. Nearest point of interest is Tom Sweeney Real Estate and is 533 yards northwest.
We got our nearest address, our cross street, and the nearest point of interest. We'll go ahead and tap the Where Am I button.
Nearest cross street, where am I? Button, where am I? Facing east near 2 Fairmont Sierra in Bossier City.
So same thing happened. The iPhone beeped, it vibrated to indicate the command took, and we got our heading, our nearest address, and city. We'll go ahead and tap the cross street button.
Where am I? Button. Nearest cross street. Button. Nearest cross street. Nearest cross street. Near Monsieur. Near Dover CT.
So we got the nearest street and cross street.
Nearest 5 points of interest. Button. Nearest 5 points of interest. Nearest 5 points of interest are Tom Sweeney Real Estate 538 yards northwest. Red River Eye and Laser CT are 799 yards southwest. Eco Mulch and Sod 908 yards south. Bossier Eye Institute 1,206 yards southwest. Safader ICTR 1,206 yards southwest.
So we got a listing of the nearest 5 points of interest. Each one provided the name, distance, and direction. So that's the core of the GPS Lookaround app from Sendero Group. We'll go ahead and explore the settings.
Settings. Button. Back. Button.
There's two different things we can change here, the country and the unit selection. The two supported countries are North America and the UK. Under North America, that includes the US and Canada.
Shake gesture. Selected. On. One of two. Off. Two of two. Button.
We also have the option of turning on or off the shake gesture.
Country. Selected. North America. One of two. UK. Two of two. Button.
So there we have North America or UK as our country selection.
Distance unit.
For a distance unit, we have yards, meters, or feet.
Feet. One of three. Button.
There's feet.
Meter. Two of three. Button.
Meters.
Selected. Yard. Three of
or yards.
Button. Back. Button. Welcome to Sendero GPS Lookaround version 1.
So that's pretty much it. If there's additional details under help, under there, there's a link to the main Sendero GPS Lookaround iPhone page, which is senderogroup.com. That's senderogroup.com/iPhone. Sendero Group is looking for suggestions, bugs, or feature requests. They would like to receive that at iPhone@senderogroup.com, iPhone@senderogroup.com, with the subject of Look Around, LOOKAROUND. This app can be found in the iPhone App Store by searching for either Sendero or Look Around, or the entire name, Sendero GPS Look Around. I can be reached at Kevin Chow, KevinChao89. That's KevinChao89@gmail.com or Twitter.com/KevinChao89.
Hi, this is Michael Off, and I'm here to demo the new Zoom H1 recorder. And Zoom, of course, Z-O-O-M, H is in hotel, H1 is the model. The company is called Samson, as in Son of Sam, that's S-A-M-S-O-N. And their website, which unfortunately doesn't seem to contain much about this product, is samsontech.com, www.samsontech.com. I am intentionally, as of now, not putting any windscreen on the microphone so that you can hear how your P's and plosives will pop, pop, pop. But you don't get a windscreen if you buy the product outright for $99. What do we get in the goodie bag here? You get a little box with the recorder, one AA battery, limited basic user manual that you can scan if you like, and that's pretty much it. You can buy an additional pack for the device for about $20, which gives you a power supply that you don't get with the unit to plug it in. Gives you a windscreen for the microphone. I'm going to put one on shortly so we can hear the difference. And I think it gives you some kind of lanyard and a USB cable to connect this device to your computer. Let's go over the device. It's about 5 inches long. I wish it were maybe a little bit shorter in length. There you get to hear what a phone sounds like. And maybe about an inch and a half wide, which is nice because it makes it very narrow, and also about an inch thick. Kind of has a candy bar feel to me. As compared with other voice recorders, I think the audio quality is actually pretty good. As long as you have adequate modulation, I think it sounds pretty good. And I don't think you're going to beat the price for $99. And unlike other recorders that I had, like the Zoom H2, which met its demise in the Calvo pool, and even my $500 Sony PCMD50, which I would have to say, if you want better quality than this, you're going to have to go to a unit of that price level. But what I like about this device is it has a built-in speaker in the bottom of it, so you can actually hear your recordings without the need to wear headphones. However, you do need to wear headphones to hear that your device is in what's called standby mode and actually ready to record, and I just wasted a battery today because I unplugged it from the USB, thought it was turned off, and it wasn't. The device, on the very top of it, has what they call wires, little pieces that go across it and kind of house two microphones, one in front on the right pointing to the left and slightly upward, and one behind it on the left pointing to the right and slightly upward. And this gives you what's called a 90 degree sound field. So in other words, you have stereo, but you don't have really wide stereo. So if you hear a car come from the left and go to the right, even when something's to the left of you, you will faintly hear it in the right channel. And when something's on the extreme right, you will still hear it faintly in the left channel. But very high quality. And of course, you can always hook up external mics, which is something else we will do very shortly. Going down the left side, we have the earphone jack. It's an eighth or 3.5 stereo jack. And below it are two buttons. The top one raises the headphone output volume, making it louder, and of course the bottom one lowers that. And below that, the only other thing on the left side is a little plastic piece that houses the door for the micro SD card that you can plug into the device. That is the one other thing they give you in the package, is a 2 gigabyte SD micro card. It supports values up to 32 gig. So that's a lot of audio recording if you want to make that investment. And that's pretty much all on the left side. I must give myself the Dumas Award because I found what I thought was the card to go into the device, but it was actually an adapter to plug it into a regular card reader. So once I explored a little further, I found the actual micro card and inserted that into the device. Close the door and off we go. Now, on the front of the unit, there is a display and only one button. Nice big round record button. When you turn the device on, it automatically comes on to what's called standby mode, meaning you will hear your microphones through your headphone jack, and pressing it again will initiate a recording. Pressing it a second time will stop, and again, you will stay in standby mode. Now, what you can do is, if you're in standby mode, you can press the play button. The audio will stop. That way, you know the difference between being in standby and when you're truly recording. And that's pretty much it, other than a speaker on the bottom of the device. All your main controls, other than headphone outputs, are on the right side of the device. The very top right is your input jack, a 3.5-inch jack. It's really designed for microphone input, but if you turn the volume levels all the way down and maybe just slightly up from zero, you can use a line input. So really, I guess you're adjusting impedance more than anything. Below that, you have two buttons. The top one actually raises the recording volume, and the bottom one lowers the recording volume. Below that, you have four additional buttons. They're all in a row. Forward or next button. Again, pushing it once will go to the next audio file, or holding it down will cue you forward through the file. The play button protrudes a little bit more than the others, but all of these buttons are kind of recessed into the device. So you either have to have small fingers, or you may find that you're actually using the tip of your finger to engage these buttons. Below that is your rewind or back button, which if you are playing a file will move you to the previous file, or if held down will review you in a reverse motion through the file. Below that is your erase or delete button. So what you can do when you're playing a file is hit that button. The audio will automatically stop, and what you have on the screen is a prompt asking if you wish to delete it. You go and hit the nice round record button on the front of the unit, and the file is gone. So I guess the only way to get out of it, if you didn't intend to delete the file you were currently listening to, would probably be to power it off. Power on off button / lock button. This is a different design I hadn't seen before. When you push it downward, it's like spring loaded. So you push it down and hold it for about 1 second. I tend to say 1001, and then the unit powers on. It seems if you hold it down too long, it'll power on and turn itself back off again. So I hold it down for about 1 second and release. Then if you push it in an upward mode, it actually kind of locks in, and that actually locks the control so that you don't accidentally press something you didn't mean to. And this pretty much concludes all of the controls on the device, leaving us in the very bottom right, the USB connector. On the back on your right side is the battery compartment, again housing one AA battery. So let's walk around and see if we can get you any kind of sound samples. Nothing too exciting. It's nighttime here, so there's not a lot to listen to. And I will walk around here. Let's go get the windscreen and eliminate some of the annoying plosives or popping of the peas. We are now in the computer room. Here's the windscreen. This is not the one that came with it. That should improve the plosives quite a bit, actually. And I'm not sure what else we could really show you here to gauge the sound without me walking down the Green River Road, so that you can hear traffic and things of that sort. We'll step into the kitchen, so there's always those nice sounds. Of course, my favorite, the freezer. And, of course, the infamous old-school sink and, of course, garbage disposal. There are three additional buttons. They're switches, two position switches on the back of it. Below that is a threaded mount so that you could actually mount this to some type of tripod or microphone stand. Of course, if you do pay for the $20 add-on kit, you do get a little tripod to go with it as well. But the three buttons, the one on the left in the down position is recording in wave format. If you push it up, it begins recording in MP3. The middle button is used as a gain control. Now, if you're recording, as we are doing, if you press the play button at this time, it will insert an audio marker so that you can jump to those points in the file. So that's great if you're going to do some post-production anytime you need to get to a specific place in the file. So that works with SoundForge Studio Recorder, and I'm sure many other recorders as well. The right of the three buttons is a bass roll-off filter. I have it in the down position, which is off. That is my preference with a windscreen. However, if you do not have a windscreen, you're going to want to push it up. I will do that now, and you hear how it does roll off the bass just a tad. Probably ideal, especially if you're outside in a windy condition or anything where there's a lot of audio transients. That's a thing to be mindful of, especially if you have no windscreen. I would keep that in the up position. And now I think I have finally, in a convoluted way, covered all of the controls of this device. So I guess the next thing to do would be to try two other microphones. Again, my Electrovoice EV15, which requires a lot of power to make it work. And something else that I think gives a really good sound, and that's my Audio-Technica AT822. And if you crank up the recording bit rate from 44 to 48K, for some reason, it reduces the background noise even more. I'm not sure why that is. Now, going back to the left of the three two-position buttons on the back of the unit, again, if it's in the down position, it records in wave. And while you're in standby mode, not recording, but in actual standby mode, you can use the forward and reverse or back and forward buttons, whatever you want to call them, to move through the different sampling rates. So you start at the default of 44.1 16K, the left of the three buttons in the up. Pushing it up goes into MP3 mode. I don't know yet the exact bit rates that the forward and rewind will toggle you through. The website says they start at 48K, which I noticed some digital artifacts, and goes up to 320. So we're going to guess there's something like 48, 56, 64, perhaps 96, 128, 160, 192, 224, 256, and perhaps 320, but I'm guessing at this point. So I'm going to either call the vendor where I bought this product, sweetwater.com, a great store in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They also have a walk-in facility as well. Or I may actually see if my Opticon can read the screen and see if I can actually see these bit rates and verify that once and for all. Actually, quite honestly, once I set it at 192K MP3, I will probably leave it there and do all my recordings in that mode. I don't know about what happens if the battery dies or there's no power to the device for a particular period of time, what would cause it to lose its settings. This is a very nice unit, and because it has a built-in speaker, means it doesn't necessarily just have to be used for those of you like myself who want to go out and get high-quality recordings of your classes and maybe even do podcasts. But the built-in speaker affords you the opportunity to use this as a great little note-taking device, just to record voice notes, to-do lists, shopping lists, what have you. So I think this unit has a lot of potential uses. I'm very impressed with it. I have to say, for $99, you're not going to do better in terms of sound quality. You know, it's not going to be the most durable unit out there. It is plastic, but under normal use and normal wear and tear, the device should last you quite a while. I will mention that with the Zoom H2, I had a problem where I think I put the wrong battery in it, and I noticed it kind of heated up, and it never quite functioned right after that. I find sometimes it would stop while I was recording. So again, I don't know if that was related to using the wrong battery. Of course, the Cavalpool finished it off, so I took that as my cue to move on to something else. But certainly one could wish that the buttons were a little more pronounced. I have no problem with them, but certainly if you were not paying attention, you got in a hurry, there's always the potential that you might think you're recording when you're actually not. You will have to have a pair of headphones or some earbuds or something to actually monitor the output to ensure that you're recording continuously. So there are many other things that we could do and talk about. I would encourage listening to the great review from Neil Ewers over at blindcooltech.com. He demos it with some different microphones and puts the device through its paces in his quality and thorough review style. So really all that leaves us is A, for me to let you hear the speaker, and let's try a couple of microphones and see if we can enhance the sound quality by using some higher quality external microphones.
Sometimes easier said than done. That intrigues me. That actually took away more highs than I like. I'm going to remove it.
So this is the Electro Voice EV15. I have it at 100%, and now I'm going to engage the automatic gain control. Keeps it about the same. So you pretty much need full modulation for a microphone that requires a lot of power. But this is the EV15, and it handles it. Much better, actually, than the Zoom H2 did. Not as good as the Sony PCM D50, but for one-fifth of the price, what would one expect?
And finally, we're recording with the Audio-Technica AT-822. It's a stereo microphone, and it works very well with this recorder. Right now, we're using the built-in compressor limiter, AGC, I should say, and I shall turn it off. It doesn't modify the sound any. You will notice that when I turn it back, it kind of surges, and there you go. But good sound quality. Actually, I'm recording this file for a second time because I accidentally pushed the mode button up, changing it from wave to a 48K MP3, so you didn't get the full sound. So you got to be very careful with these buttons. Dana Carvey would say, cheap piece of plastic. So you got to make sure you don't put the buttons in the wrong mode. But nice recorder. Actually, that lowered the gain when I guess it did. Let me turn it off, and you'll hear it raise back. The gain in this thing's a little slow to recover. I wish it was down about 1 second. It's like 5 seconds or something crazy. So I'm going to turn off the gain. I like it better without the gain. Use the gain if you're in a situation where you can't control the audio levels, maybe a classroom where things are far away from you. But if you can, in normal circumstances, turn the gain off. I think you'll like it a little better. It is one slight weakness of the device. So this is the Audio-Technica AT-822.
Okay, so the only thing this leaves us to do is to let you hear the quality of the built-in speaker. Again, nothing to write home about, but it is better than nothing, and you can verify that you did make an audio recording without the need of having headphones present. So we'll listen to that now. And you can adjust the volume levels, however, that is maximum volume, so you're not going to be able to hear it very well in a crowded, noisy environment. But you do have a speaker, so again, this enables this device to be a note-taking voice recorder. I think this will be great for the classroom. The battery life, I'm told, is about 10 hours, so that's a little lower than you might like, but keep in mind that is only one AA. So I don't know how it will do with any type of rechargeable batteries. But my overall conclusion is that I do like it. If we plug it into a USB, it is seen as a drive. The files are logically named. It's very easy to get files off of or onto the device. Because remember, as it records waves and MP3s, likewise, you could use it to play MP3 files. And the 2 gig card could give you up to 500 songs. So maybe you want a mix of some music to listen to and then audio to record. Now, let's do one other thing. And I really like this feature. That's the ability to delete a file when I am finished with it. That, to me, is just awesome. So I'm going to hit the record button, and I am in standby now, and I will hit it again. This is a test for the Serotalk Podcast Network. So what you can do is, while you're playing a file, you can hit the delete or erase button, and then hit the record button, and the file is gone. This is a test. And now the file is gone. Again, I hit the erase and hit the record button to confirm, and it's gone. And now when I hit play, I will get the previous file. I think if you want a voice recorder to do podcasts or record notes in class, I think this recorder will get the job done for you. You're not going to beat the price. If you want to go out and use it for podcasts, I recommend it. Now, if you just want something to record voice notes, there are some cheaper options, probably even $30 for the built-in speaker. But if you're an audio enthusiast, you want good quality recordings, this device gets it done for the lowest price possible, fully accessible. The only two things you would need help on are setting the time, and maybe if you want confirmation that you have properly set the bitrate of the files you want to record. But as long as you pay attention, those can easily be set. And of course, you could always toggle through the MP3 formats and then bring them up in Winamp or something and see what the bitrates are. Or look at them in Windows Explorer, for that matter, and see what the bitrates are. So I like the unit. It's accessible, built-in speaker, the ability to delete unwanted files without having to connect it to a PC first makes this device, in my opinion, a winner. Right on to Samsung.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB 2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.